Welcome back, or good morning, or good afternoon, or wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Good to have you here. Let's find a way in. That's all that matters. Find your way in. I am Jim Rome. We start hour number two. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Glad we're starting hour number two. We get that proverbial reset, reboot. Let's get back to the show. Let's talk some sports. We are joined right now by somebody who just wrapped up his ninth MLB season. He is an MLB All-Star. He won a gold medal with USA Baseball with the World Baseball Classic. He was the 32nd pick overall in 2008 out of Highland High School. We are joined right now by Jake Odorizzi of the Minnesota Twins. Jake, it is nice to have you on the program. Good to have you, Jake. How are you?
Absolutely. I'm doing good, Jim. How about you? Nice to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you again. Listen, I want to get your thoughts on the latest news involving the LA Dodgers and the fact that Clayton Kershaw can't go. But first, when we get into the ALCS and NLCS, Jake, overall, what's going through your head when you're watching postseason baseball? What do you make of what you've seen so far?
The thing that jumped out at me so far is the home run. It seems like there's a lot of runs being scored via the home run. So if you can limit hard contact, a lot of those teams have been winning these ball games. And I think a good example of that was the Rays the other day. They punched out, I think, 13 times as a team, but they hit two home runs and they came out on top with good pitching. So opportune hitting, I think, has stood out to me a lot. But we've seen a lot of really good pitching as well this postseason. So I think those are the two big things right now. We're not seeing a lot of at bats put together and, you know, adding runs on. It's coming off of one swing. So That's good and bad, but that seems to be the theme so far this postseason, at least from my point of view.
We're talking to Jake Odorizzi of the Minnesota Twins. All right, Jake, the news just broke that Clayton Kershaw is not going to get the start tonight in Game 2 of the NLCS. He's got back spasms, and Tony Gonsolin's going to start in his place. If you're in that Dodger clubhouse right now and you're down 0-1 in that series and Kershaw can't go, how big of a blow is that?
Hopefully a minor one. Hopefully the temperature inside the clubhouse has at least an understanding of what's going on with him. And, you know, I know he's dealt with this in the past. And, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. I mean, there's no cutting around it. When that guy's not going to go on his schedule start, I mean, I think it catches you off guard first off. But if he's, you know, talking to him, seeing how he is, hopefully he's able to start tomorrow for him, because, you know, you need that guy out there to do what you want to do, get back to the World Series again. So hopefully it's just a minor thing. I think we saw Max Scherzer deal with the same thing last year. Missed his start. They thought he was going to be out, and the next day he's out there pitching. So hopefully it's the same thing, because they need him. And it was a tough loss for him last night. I thought Walker pitched really well with the, you know, his history of blister issues. I thought he would perform pretty well, because that's a tough injury for a pitcher. It sounds weak and, you know, very soft, but that's the most crucial part to a pitcher, is the last bit of your finger touching the ball, because that's where you get all your feel. So, you know, hopefully he's okay, and, you know, Kersh will be out there tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm glad you explained that it's not just a blister. Like, you know, most listeners or fans are like, come on, man, I got blisters. I go to work. I still go on my runs. I still go to the gym. Yeah, not the same thing. Not the same thing. Listen, when you talk, you've talked about this too, the fact that Kershaw has made this transition at this point in his career where he's found a way to dominate even when his stuff has changed, and we've seen this from other power pitchers in the past. How impressive is that to you, and what's that process like when you're a guy, and as you get older and you change and you evolve, you've got to make use of what you have and still dominate?
Yeah, I think there's that low point. You almost switch up your routine a little bit, and it seems like guys that, you know, like Kersh, for example, obviously he's been elite his entire career. His low is better than a lot of people's highs. So there's always that. That's a good thing. But what I've noticed with certain guys like a Verlander, Kershaw, there's a little bit of a lull, and then they come back to the form that they were beforehand. Maybe the velocity is just a little bit down, but they add velocity. They get the feel back for everything. Sabathia did it. A lot of those good guys, they make adjustments, and they find out what they need to do to be successful, because the competitor in them is not going to let them take a lesser, you know, outing to the mound, lesser stuff to the mound, and be okay with it. So that's that drive. That's that tenacity. And, He's definitely got a lot of that. So I think that's a lot of the driving force when it comes to it. But you got to figure it out yourself, and then you start going on the uphill again. I think this is some of the best I've seen him, you know, pitch in a couple of years, and it's just been consistent every single time out. And when you've been that guy for years and hitters know what's coming and you're still dominating them, that's the mark of a true ace and Hall of Famer.
Jake Odorizzi is joining us. He's a starting pitcher with the Minnesota Twins. Jake, I'm glad you mentioned routine because you and Rich Hill talked about this earlier in the year, and you asked Hill what it was that made Kershaw so special. He said it's his routine. Like, why is that so important to a pitcher and to that one in particular?
So routine is just what, you know, if you've lasted this long in the big leagues, you have a good routine that you've worked out that works for you personally. Every routine is different from player to player. You know what you need to do to prepare and get yourself ready. Some are longer than others, some are shorter than others. But as a creature of habit, it's a good thing to show up each day knowing what you're going to be doing, as opposed to when you're younger and you're still, the soreness doesn't exactly set in the same. You're young, you're, you know, low 20s, you can just show up and go out, play catch, and that's your day. But as you get a little bit older, it's nice to have a game plan going into each day as, okay, I know day two I'm doing this, day three I'm doing this, day four I'm preparing for my start day. And just knowing what you do when you show up to the yard is just it's a let off your shoulders, just because you're not sitting there wondering, okay, what should I do now? I feel like I'm wasting time, you know, everything like that. So good preparation, you know, breeds, you know, good results. So when you can get a routine like that on whatever you need to feel comfortable as yourself, that's the most important thing that I've learned over my career, and that's put me on a good path.
I wonder, Jake, like, how much of that would work for any of us in any walk of life? Like, for instance, as part of your routine, how much of that stuff and how often you find yourself not wanting to do it, but just because of discipline and because of repetition and consistency, you just make yourself do it, and then when you make yourself do it, generally things work out pretty well.
Yeah, it's kind of that snowball effect. Is you make one good choice and you roll over into the next one, and then halfway through your day, you're in a really good spot. You're like, man, this is great. And then a couple days of it becomes a habit. So I think routines are, like you said, it can be implemented in any walk of life. It doesn't matter if it's sports, everyday business, you know, teaching, whatever it may be. If you have a good solid routine, it really takes the stresses out of a lot of things. Of just as simple as like laying your clothes out the night before you wear them, you just wake up, you put them on, as opposed to wasting 10 minutes early in the morning. And who knows what you could do with that 10 minutes. I realize that's a small amount of time, but just things as easy as that is a starting point. And, you know, people who have kids, they understand how hectic things can be in the morning time. So something like that in the morning could make a day go by a little less hectic. You know, who knows? But, you know, that's just my views.
Oh, I agree with you, Jake. I'm not sure, and I think other people listening also understand this. Like, hey, Jake, let's not get started on the importance of making your bed. You and I both know that's important, too, but I'll save that for another conversation, maybe the podcast. Now, what about the Braves? They're 7-0 in the postseason. They're obviously playing with a ton of confidence right now. How much does each win add to the confidence for a group like that, and how dangerous do they look to you?
They look phenomenal. I think they're doing everything well. Their offense is coming through. Their bullpens look really good. Their starting pitching has been pretty elite. I mean, it's a good place to be if you're a Braves fan right now. And the funny thing about them, too, is they have a young core for the most part. And I think this is kind of a glimpse of what the future holds for them. If they can, you know, obviously keep some of these guys around, bullpen pieces, that shifts a little bit. But, man, they're playing some really good ball right now. And it just seems like they're at that point now where each day somebody new is delivering for them, and that's a dangerous team to face when there's not one guy or two guys in your lineup that you can. I mean, we all know who those, you know, couple guys are. You want Acuna and Freddie are pretty special at the top, but when those guys aren't the ones hurting you and it's somebody else, that makes a well-rounded team, and that's what you want to have in the postseason.
We're talking postseason baseball with Jake Odorizzi. Jake, what about the Rays? Like, if anybody is surprised that they're two wins away from a World Series, then either they haven't been paying attention or they just don't really understand the sport. But this is not surprising at all. Not if you watch these guys. You were with the Rays from 2013 until before the start of the 2018 season. What was that time like for you, and how would you describe the culture of that organization?
So just the starting point of that, it really helped mold my career, put me on a good path. I learned a lot during my time there. And, you know, I was fortunate because they traded for me. They saw something in me when I was with the Royals. They liked the high fastball, the rise ball effect, pitching up in the zone. But that was before that was a popular thing. So they're always ahead of the curve when it comes to analytics and kind of what the next it thing is in baseball. So at that time, you know, we're seeing it now is elevated pitches in the zone are kind of what's been focused on, and I was doing that back then, and they saw that, they liked it, and we started it back then. So they always have an eye in the future and knowing kind of what the next trend may or may not be. And they really encouraged that from me when I got there. So they tried to make what I did better than what it normally was, which is, you know, big detriment to where I'm at right now in my career. But, you know, they thrive in situations where it's unexpected. It's a crazy thing. And obviously this year of a 60 game season and everything that's gone along with it, I feel like that's right in their wheelhouse. They have endless arms that come out of the, you know, come out of the bullpen, start for them. And the way they use guys is probably second to none. No other team really uses their whole lineup and pitching staff as they do. So they've all got this experience this year, and they're looking very comfortable, and I don't blame them whatsoever. They're playing really good, and they're pitching really great, and I think that's the two of their big keys. Plus, their defense has been phenomenal. Just that last game against the Astros, I think they made about five or six plays that are usually not expected to be outs. And if you can shorten the game in any of those aspects, you're going to be in a good spot. So I'm not surprised in the least bit.
Hey, Jake, really quickly, I think that's a really interesting story that you tell. Like, if you understand analytics and you understand metrics and you understand the way the Rays go about their business, that's not surprising at all. That they saw you, they knew the kind of stuff that you had, and they knew that you had that high fastball in the zone, that rising fastball. That's not surprising to me, and especially you know where the game is going. I'm curious, when you were doing that, were you mindful of that? Was that just kind of the movement and the mechanics that you had, or were you doing that intentionally? Did you know that you were doing that and having success and that would be a value to somebody?
Yeah, so that was something that I've always done. It's just been natural to me for whatever reason. It might be my hand positioning on how I throw, whatever it may be, but I was having success like that when I was in the minor leagues with Milwaukee and Kansas City. And in the minor leagues, it's a lot different of scenario of, you know, you kind of listen to what they say, and it's always get the ball down. And I could do it, but I was way more effective and had way better results when I was just kind of cutting it loose and doing what came natural to me. So I tried my best to do that, and I got to a point, I think about in Double-A, that I just said, look, I'm having success with this. I'm okay with, you know, doing what you guys want, but I think it's hindering me a little bit. And then I just got to the point where I did what I needed to do, and lo and behold, you know, 10 years later, it's worked out pretty well. And that's just kind of knowing yourself, though, at the same time. And if you're not the type of person that can do this, then obviously it's not for you, and it could be a little throw you off the rails a bit. But just a decision that I made that I thought I knew myself pretty well, and fortunately I did. And then you have a team like Tampa who comes in and says, we love what you're doing. We don't want you to change a thing. We actually want to make it better. And that was such a huge thing for me to hear somebody just like what I'm doing and tell me why that I'm having success. Because before that time, there was no why to that. It was just, oh, you know, it's going to run out at some point. But they had the reason why, and it made complete sense to me after I got there.
See, again, I think this is kind of amazing. Like, for instance, you know how there are certain organizations, and they do things a certain way, and they've got a certain philosophy, and they'll bring in pitchers and treat them the same way, and this is the way we do it. This is the way we attack guys. This is where we are in the zone. I mean, it's one thing for you to make adjustments after you're 5 years in, 8 years in, 9 years in, as you are right now in the major leagues. But when you're in the minor leagues, and you're trying to make it, and you're in an organization, and they're telling you to do it a certain way, like, I wonder how you had the wherewithal and the belief in yourself to say, yeah, you know, respectfully, I don't think that's the best way. Like, how did you know, and how did you have the fortitude to say, no, I'm going to do it my way because I really think it's better?
Oh, first and foremost, like, I tried doing what they wanted me to do. I gave it good effort to do it. It was just very foreign to me. They wanted me on the opposite side of the rubber, which I normally pitch from, and then pitching down in the zone, which the angle it created, I understood their mindset behind it, but it was very difficult for me to get on top of the ball and consistently be down in the zone. So it was a little bit of a back and forth for a while, and then just after talking with them and explaining my mindset and everything like that, it was, I think they understood a little bit, but maybe still didn't like it. But the results kind of spoke for themselves. And there was at one point in my career, I won't mention where or when, it was along those lines of, you know, if you can't pitch down in the zone, you'll never pitch in the big leagues. You know, words that were told to me. And, you know, at that point, I was like, I think I might disagree with that. I didn't say that. I was saying it to myself. But, you know, thankfully, yeah, everything's worked out pretty well from the decision that I made, because it could have been a crossroads, you know, in a career at any point, and it was a big step. But I just felt like, for me and my future, that this made the most sense to me, and this has been years of success doing it. And then, thankfully, Tampa came along and explained to me, like, the whys. And then I got to really study the why and go beyond that point, and that's kind of where I am today. So, and I think a lot of teams, that's their model now, is we want guys to go north and south more so than east and west. But things change yearly, and it seems like they're always changing. So that's just kind of a little bit of background of how I got to be the type of pitcher that I am.
I'm glad you shared that. That's actually very helpful. And you're right, things have changed, and teams do see it that way, but they didn't see it that way at that time. All right, so finally, you're entering free agency, and you're doing it at a really unusual time after a really unusual season. How are you approaching it?
I think about the same as last year, to be quite honest. You know, obviously this year was a weird, strange year for everybody, but for me in general, it was especially strange. Without back to routine and habit, spring training, normal spring training, is a huge tool for me. I'm fortunate enough that I can use it as a tool and not have to fight for a spot anymore. And I like to go throw against the minor leaguers in spring training. I don't really like to pitch in big league spring training games because I want to work. And I want to, you know, work on whatever I'm focusing on for that season, or the adjustments, or just ironing things out, getting my feel for things. And I like to do it back there where it's a controlled environment, everything like that. Well, this year I wasn't able to do that. So it was kind of a learning on the fly all over again. And it was tough to not have the feel where you want it to be when the season starts with, you know, we had 3 weeks of ramp up time, and I had a small issue that set me back a week. But a week at that point was almost like a month with a short time frame. But it was a tough start to come off, and I just felt like I was playing catch up a little bit. Arm physically was perfectly fine. Everything lined up with what it was last year. Just the execution was a hair off, which is, you know, easy to kind of work through in a long season. It's that's what, 6 months for a reason. But you know, finally get back, get my legs underneath me, and then I catch a line drive to the chest from an ex teammate of mine, and that sets me back, and then a blister to end the season. So a lot of things are just unexpected. I can't really do anything about that. It is what it is. But at the same time, when I was out there pitching, my numbers analytically lined up with where they were last year. So I'm still the exact same pitcher I was. And I don't think there's any reason to think anything different than that. It's if those four starts for me would have been zero runs, would I have been asking for $200 million? Absolutely not. So I don't really see how the reverse effect of that should be in play. But I realize, you know, people view things different ways, and that's just the way I view this. I think I'm at a great point in my career, and I think my best years are ahead of me with the training that I put in and the, you know, velocity increase that I've been able to maintain at, you know, this point in my career. So I think there's a lot of good things, and a lot of my best years are going to be ahead of me. So that's just my view on it, and I expect there to be a lot of interest, and we'll go from there once the once the market opens up.
There it is. Finished off his ninth MLB season, already an All-Star, already a gold medalist, the 32nd pick overall back in 08. Jake Odorizzi, my guest. That's a great baseball conversation. Jake, I appreciate that so much. Thank you very much for coming back on. I know we'll do it again soon, and good luck with everything.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. Before we get off here real quick, I remember the last time we talked, Tampa Bay Lightning got 4 and outed, and this year they won a Stanley Cup. So I think we need to talk just about every year around the end of the hockey season, and the reverse effect couldn't have been more apparent this year in a upside down world. So I just thought I'd bring that up to bring things full circle for us from the last time till now.
There is some symmetry in that, to be sure. No, you're right. I'm glad you brought that up, and that makes perfect sense to me, and that is accurate. Another reason why we need to keep doing it. Jake, good job. Well done. All right, I love a guy who not only has been on, but remembers the last time he was on, remembers what we talked about and what was going on. I don't know, maybe it's just me. And when he says that he feels like his best baseball is still ahead of him, I agree with him. With that approach and with that routine and with the knowledge he has, I agree. I think his best baseball is still ahead of him. But when he's done with baseball, there's no doubt in my mind he ends up in a studio. He'll be in a studio somewhere, and he'll have a platform, and he has a great and uncanny ability to break it down. I like that guy a lot. Always have. All right, when we come back, as evidence of how much I like him, you'll see how short the next segment is, because we went kind of heavy in that one. When we come back, a shorter segment. And then a conversation with the head football coach of Missouri, Eli Drinkwitz. My thanks to Jake Odorizzi of the Minnesota Twins. Phone lines are open. You see, that's how you get a talk show back. By talking sports. And not older guys with yellow hair. Or pitchers who allegedly don't want the ball. See, that was another former or another current major league pitcher who had nothing but praise, respect, and admiration for Kershaw. You notice that? Just saying. Do you need replacement parts and tools for your repair, your maintenance, or your restoration project? If so, O'Reilly Auto Parts has you completely covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts because they know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years now. Their professional parts people will even test your battery free of charge when you visit an O'Reilly Auto Parts store. So if your battery does need to be replaced, they can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. I'm talking Superstar batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. You can get dependable power and performance from a Superstar battery for your car, or your truck, or your motorcycle, even your lawnmower, your boat, and more. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So when you talk to a Dell Technologies advisor, they are focused on you and they're ready to offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL. My thanks to Jake Odorizzi. I think that's really interesting that he was with Kansas City and in their organization. And they're like, hey, man, if you can't keep the ball down, you're not going to make it to the major leagues. And he knew that he was having success throwing that fastball up, pounding it higher in the zone. And they kept trying to tell him, no, that's not how we do it around here. That's not how it's done. If you don't listen to us, you are not going to make it to the major leagues. He said, I'm not going to say where it happened. I'm not going to say who told that to me. I'm just going to say that this did happen at some point. And yet I stayed true to myself and I was doing what I thought was right. And now I'm 9 years into a major league career and an all-star. I think that's really interesting. At Apple Pasta tweets, Dear Jim, that was a phenomenal interview. Jake Odorizzi's got a future in the media in front of him. Yeah, I've got a feeling that not only is that true, I've got a feeling that's kind of the way he's setting it up. And that's not only is there nothing wrong with that, that's smart. I've always known this. I've seen this over the course of the last couple of decades. There are guys who think about the next thing. There are guys who understand that what I'm doing, I'm really lucky to be doing, but I won't be doing this forever. And it's not for me to decide when this is going to come to an end, because it will. And maybe sooner than I want it to, so I better be ready. So I'm going to start preparing myself. You see this. You see guys get into the major leagues or the NFL or the NBA, and there are certain guys, and not a lot of them, but certain guys, the NFL, especially the NFL because it's so violent and because the normal shelf life is so much shorter, that not long after they get in, they start thinking about, all right, what am I going to do? What's my next thing? Not only do I not want to be defined by this and only this, I know it's going to end at some point. So what is the next thing? And then for the guys who are in broadcasting, every once in a while, some athlete will call me up and say, hey, listen, can I pick your brain on something? He's not one of those guys, but clearly when you're an active major leaguer and you're putting yourself in that position, you are setting it up and it's smart. I couldn't respect it anymore. And I appreciate it because while he's setting it up, he's providing good content for other outlets like this. So a guy like that's always going to be welcome on the program. At UCLA Dodger Frank tweets, if anyone knows about tight pants, it would be me. Signed, Pablo Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval, as we mentioned a year ago, 245, 10 home runs, 47 RBIs. Sandoval lost his job in the spring, and he might have just
broke his belt.
Well, you know the Boston newspaper is going to play that up. His weight has been a topic of discussion constantly.
Really? That would be of interest to somebody that Pablo Sandoval snapped his belt while pitching? Somebody would care about that? Not you clones. Or swinging, I should say. None of you clones would care about that. Speaking of which, Sandoval, you want to check out Hunter Pence latest episode of the Jim Rome Podcast. That's Ep 146. That's going to be up a little bit longer. Wednesday, we will have a new episode because we push one out every single Wednesday. Buzz Williams, the head basketball coach at Texas A&M, is going to be my guest. So check out Hunter Pence. In fact, check out all of them at your leisure. 1-800-636-8686. That number is toll free. What do you want to talk about besides Walker Buehler's tight pants? Besides Chris Berman's tight lettuce? Just talk sports. I know that's really hard for a lot of you. Let's just talk sports. When we come back, we are going to talk some college football. The head coach of Missouri, Eli Drinkwitz, is my guest. That's coming up next. I do want to reset the NLCS. Where does that leave the Dodgers? Clayton Kershaw is not going to go in game two. Jake Odorizzi said hopefully he can come back in game three. Remember, no days off either, so that's not helping. Dodgers, to me, are in a really critical spot. They got to win this one.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Because of the pandemic, schedules are changing. We have Tuesday night football. And not Maction either, like NFL football, CBS football, Bills, Titans, tonight. Got ourselves a Tuesday night matchup, which I love. Tuesday night football on CBS. And no, Blake, it's not what you think it means. Blake in Calgary.
CBS stands for Can't Be More Stellar.
I mean, that's true, but that's not what that stands for. So what that means is the Titans made it without another positive test, which means the league has given it a green light, so the Bills and the Titans are going to get it on this evening. And the reason we are here, of course, is because that outbreak involving the Titans organization, which is wreaked all sorts of havoc throughout the league and on the schedule. They had their game that was scheduled against Pittsburgh moved back. It's rescheduled until later in the year. They had their Sunday nighter with the Mafia moved to tonight. The Bills were kind of up in the air trying to figure out exactly what was going to happen to them. What did that mean to them? So at least we know this. They've passed protocol. They've got the green light. We're going to see that game tonight, Bills and Titans. The question is, what are you going to get with Tennessee? What happens when they finally do return to play? Lots of questions about them. And I will pick up that part of the conversation momentarily. As promised, though, we are joined right now by the head football coach at Missouri. He is in his first season with the Tigers. He led App State to a Sun Belt title last season, 12-1 at App State last year. Missouri with an enormous win over LSU on Saturday, 45-41. They're at number 10 Florida on October 24th. Eli Drinkwitz is my guest. Eli, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. I am awesome. Now, you and I spoke before the season, and then you go right out and you beat LSU on Saturday. I do want to get into some of the details of that win, but before I do so, overall, man, how does it feel to have your first win in a new job be a win over the defending national champs?
Well, I mean, I think that's one of those things I'll look back and reflect on probably later in my life or in career. Right now, I was just so excited to get a win and what we had to fight through to get it, and how awesome it was in that locker room for not just me, for the players and the staff, the amount of time and effort and energy we put in to try to get that result and then to get it the way we did. You know, I haven't really looked into the significance of what it is, but just enjoyed that.
Eli, you mentioned the locker room. So what was that like? What was it like to come back to the locker room after that game and shouting, "We are," and having your guys shout right back at you, "Mizzou"?
Yeah, I mean, it's just powerful. You know, these guys have sacrificed a ton. I've asked them to make a lot of sacrifices, and our coaches have asked to make a lot of sacrifices. you know, just to even have an opportunity to play the game. And then when you have to play the game, and sometimes you feel like the deck is stacked against you when you're, you know, you got guys out because of COVID, you're playing your third top 25 team, you haven't had spring football, to come out with the result that nobody expected, the locker room's it's just an awesome celebration. It's the best party that you can ever have.
Eli Drinkwitz joining us. All right, so to that point, let's be very clear about this. You were starting a redshirt freshman, a quarterback, who I'm going to get into in a minute. A redshirt freshman, a quarterback. You were missing two starting receivers, three of the top four defensive tackles, a couple of key backups. I mean, knowing that, it would be really easy for guys to think, man, we do not have a chance against the defending champs. So how would you describe the mindset of the team going into that game?
Yeah, this play mentality. You know, we talk about this play matters the most. And it's the only thing in football that you can control is how hard and how much effort you put into this play. And you don't worry about, I got to put in 65 plays, because really all you got to worry about is this play. And that's our mentality. Don't ever worry about the previous play or the final score. You just focus on this play and do your job to the very best of your ability on this play. And do that all game, and you never know what the result's going to be. And that really was our mentality. I mean, you could hear them. When they were doing the review, you know, on the ball that was about short on the 1 yard line, Nick Bolton's yelling to the defense, "This play, this play, this play," and we just did that for four straight plays, and we won the football game. And that's when you know that you got a chance to be a good football team. You know, the craziest thing is our starting X receiver in the game was a walk on in January. We had open walk on tryouts. He came. Our director of recruiting said, "Hey, coach, there's this young kid." We watched him. We said, yeah, we'll let him, you know, be on the football team in the spring. And he starts and has five catches for 50-something yards against LSU.
Eli Drinkwitz joining us. That's wild. That's a wild element to this.
Yeah.
And then again, we are talking, though, about the fact that you had to go with a redshirt freshman, Connor Bazelak, as your starting quarterback. Now, you said, quote, it's his opportunity. Like, what did you see in him to let you know that it was his time and that he was up to the task?
Connor's a great competitor, and he's got some, I mean, he's just got some moxie to him. He's got a natural skill set throwing the football. But he had played in a wishbone offense in high school, and wishbone's a tremendous offense. It's just not exactly what we're running with our pro tempo stuff. So, you know, his senior year, I think he had less than 200 attempts throwing the football. So for us, you know, we're running curl flat concepts, and he's kind of thinking in his mind, you know, I know how to read the defensive end on veer, coach. Curl flat, that's a totally different concept for me. And so, in not to have spring, it took him a little while, and it's still taking him a little while, to just learn and grow confidence in our offense. He's got the ability, but quarterback's all about having confidence and understanding the defense does this, this is my answer. The defense does this, this is what I got to do on this concept. And so we're still learning and growing, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. I'm extremely proud of Sean Robinson. He was just a tremendous teammate all week. Didn't pout, didn't have bad body language, was awesome, and was excited for us, and is a great quarterback himself. But it's just Connor's opportunity.
You know, Eli, I was going to ask you about Sean Robinson, but I thought you'd beat me to it, and you did. I mean, after the game, you did talk about him, and you said just that, that you were extremely proud of him for the way he handled that. I mean, what's it say about him that he took this path and that it did not go the other way? Because for so many other young players, it would have gone the other way.
It just talks about, I mean, his parents have done a tremendous job raising him. It talks about what kind of character he has. And it goes back to what I said earlier. It's a this play mentality. All you can really focus on in life is what's in front of you right now. And that's all you can control. And that's the mentality that he's taken. And he knows at some point he'll get another opportunity. It's just, what are you going to do in between? Are you going to prepare for that opportunity, or are you going to be CD, which is blame, complain, and defend? And he chose to focus on this play, this opportunity, put all my focus into it, and it'll work out for him. He's going to be a real success story in life just because he has that mentality.
You like, go back to that BCD. What does that mean?
Blame, complain, and defend. When something doesn't go your way in life, you can do one of two things. You can either own it and get better, or you can BCD, blame, complain, and defend. You blame poor performance, you complain about breaks just didn't go your way, or you defend behavior. We just don't do that.
Eli Trinkwitz is joining us. All right, so you end up losing the turnover battle in that game 3-0. Obviously, you're not excited about that. But what's that say about the group, that you lose that turnover battle? What's it say about their mental toughness that they can do that and find a way to overcome and not flinch?
Well, first off, it says we're going to run some gassers today. practice turning football over. But again, it goes back to the mental toughness and focus component. You know, usually teams get divided. The defense starts pointing fingers at the offense, or the offense starts pointing fingers at the defense, you know, when there's turnovers or when there's touchdowns. I mean, at one point we were down 24-14, didn't flinch, went down there, tied it up. The very next play, the defense, you know, LSU threw a 75-yard bomb for a touchdown. Nobody flinched. They just went back out there and said, hey, let's just keep playing this play, this play. And when we look at the scoreboard, it's going to turn in our favor. And that's how it played out for us.
All right, so you mentioned the end of the game. Let me go back to that really quickly. You score with just over 5 minutes left. You take a 45-41 lead. Then LSU goes on that long drive. They've got first and goal from the one-yard line with 37 seconds left. I understand the one-play mentality, but what's going through your head at that point?
Well, I knew they were going to tempo the inside zone with no edges. That's their MO. So we had a great call on. We knew we could bring edge pressure and try to condense it as long as we got in our gaps. You know, the thought process was there was a coach on the sideline saying, coach, we should use a timeout to save us some clock if they score. And I said no, because I've been in that situation before. They had no timeouts. They've got to get their four best play calls called, and they got to do it with that time breathing down their neck. When they didn't get in on first down, you figure they're going to try some sort of run. They did. Didn't work. Third down, you knew had to be a pass. Otherwise, the clock would not stop, and they would be without of the game. So, you know, I think if they had it to do over again, they may not have called those same plays in succession. But for us, we kind of knew what was coming. It was kind of the same succession of plays they ran against Alabama last year in a similar goal line situation. The difference was the running back was able to get it in. But they ran the exact same kind of screen crack play for their tight end, and we were able to knock it down. And then fourth down, I mean, just a great play by our senior safety, Josh Bledsoe.
So when you're building a program, how valuable is a win like that? And the ability to point to the win is evidence that the process does work if everybody buys in.
Yeah, I mean, I think the key to it is continually keeping it going. It can't just be a one-and-done moment. You know, it's got to be, okay, this stuff works, all right, but that doesn't mean we just sit here and go pat ourselves on the back the rest of the week. It means today we go in there and we address the fact that we had too many turnovers and we had some mistakes and things that we got to fix. You got to build and continue to ride the wave, ride the momentum, and that's really what we're going to try to do. I do think it tends to get people to understand that this isn't just talk. You know, talk's cheap. Everybody wants to see they want to see the action. They want to see the results. And so far, we've been able to give them one result, but one is not nearly enough. You know, at Mizzou, we plan on winning the SEC East, and that's the goal. That's why we're here, and we got a long way to go to get there.
He is the head coach at Missouri. So one last thought. Initially, you were supposed to play Vanderbilt this weekend. That game has been postponed. What's your reaction to that news, and how much does that change how you approach this week?
Well, it totally changes how I approach the week. The week has now become self-reflective. Where can we get better? You know, we've played three top 25 teams. We're going to play a fourth top 25 team in a row. And so how do we improve? How do we get our guys healthy? And then can we get refocused on our academics? You know, this is midterm week for us, so it comes at a good time so guys can really focus on their studies. My initial was, you know, when it happens, the first thing you do is want to make sure that everybody at Vandy's safe and okay. I mean, we are facing a pandemic that is worldwide, and so it's not really about, you know, that stinks that we can't play football. It's about first making sure that all the players and staff at Vandy are and get healthy, and we send them our well wishes. And then once that gets taken care of, then we'll resume the world of football.
Missouri coming off that huge win over LSU on Saturday, 45-41. Next up, they've got number 10 Florida. That's on October 24th. Their head football coach in his first season with the Tigers is Eli Drinkwitz. Eli, congrats on the win. I know you're already looking ahead to the next thing and getting your guys ready, but it's always good to have you on this program. Thank you so much for that.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Appreciate you too, Eli. Always. What a great win that was. An amazing first win for him at Missouri. And knowing Eli, I know he's not surprised by that. Happy and proud of the effort, but not surprised by that. So they were supposed to play Vandy. That's not going to happen. Next up, they've got number 10 Florida coming up on October 24th. All right, so let me reset you very quickly. Third hour is now officially wide open. We've done all three interviews. We had Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly on in hour number one. I had Minnesota Twins starting pitcher Jake Odorizzi this hour. That's Eli Drinkwitz. And already doing a really good job there, obviously. LSU losing in a shootout. Third hour is open. I want to hit the NLCS. I want to hit the ALCS. I want to talk about the Tuesday night matchup, Buffalo and Tennessee this evening. This says, hey, Rome, I don't know about you, but I hope that Tim Cook gets on that stage today and tries to prove the durability of the new iPhone 12. Signed, Elon Musk.
Oh, my God. Well, maybe that was a little too hard.
Yeah. Should we try
them? Sure.
Oh, Matt in Poland Springs resetting the sound of Elon Musk throwing a rock through his bulletproof SUV. Bulletproof, but not rockproof, apparently. The Apple event is going on right now. I'm kind of interested in that, except not right now because I'm at work doing my job. Hey, Jim. If you're going to talk sports, then it's time for Adam Hawk to take his lunch break for the rest of the day. Thanks, Justin from Melbourne. Thanks, Justin. Jimmy, back spasms. That's weak. Why not fake an ACL tear? Signed, Derek Rose. No, he actually did shred his knees, plural. He didn't fake that. That wasn't about, oh man, I'm really concerned about those meetings that I'm going to have in retirement. I'm really concerned about being able to pick up my kids on time from school. I think I'll fake a ripped up ACL. Romy, Chris Berman is now eligible to become a member of a very distinguished club. Regards, Mazda Miata with top down guy. Chioff and Lincoln. All right, then. When we go to hour number three, here's how this is going to work. I am going to talk sports. And it's going to be good. And it's going to be smart. And it's going to be clever. And it's going to be informative. And it's going to be entertaining. I don't expect you to do it as well as I do it because it is my job and I've done it a long time. If you can do it well enough to make it better, you can be on the air.